friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Hi there. You are listening to 90.1 FM. Ow, KPFT Houston. Coming up next is Technology Bites.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Technology Bites.
Well, I'm just laughing at Barrett's text.
Did you get a text?
Well, you know, I texted Barrett to ask him if he was going to be on the show with us tonight, because he wasn't here when he usually is, and he thought we were preempted tonight after he was told we were not preempted.
That's next week.
Yeah, next week we're off the air. Well, we're not going to be broadcasting KPFT. He says, OMW, FSCK, FSCK.
So is he on his way over?
I don't know. I think he's mostly just freaking out. I'm going to ask.
Well, Barrett, if you're listening,
calm down.
We've got a space here for you.
I was talking on my shoe, no radio.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Crazy Uncle Barrett.
No, I'm Dwight. I'm Dwight.
Barrett. And that's...
Groove House.
That's Barrett's older, fatter uncle. Man, Barrett... I just
this
don't
could
know.
Be Barrett calling in.
Oh,
just let it ring.
Well, you know, so...
preempted, Barrett. Quit calling.
You know, so... Next week and the week after, KPFT. Yay, dog!
What's Your that? Bell. What happened to Barrett?
Barrett fell down a well and he needs his insulin?
Texts from dog.
So next week and the week after, KPFT will be providing coverage of the Republican National Hurricane and the Democratic National Convention, respectively. So we're being preempted.
That wasn't the dog. That was actually a preview of the various conventions.
we recognize the great state of Doglandia. Anyway, we're going to be preempted next week and the week after. So no Technology Bites for you. But tonight there is Technology Bites. And everybody got the memo except one person who didn't read the memo properly. Because I think Barrett thought we were preempted last week and still showed up. He showed up to the radio station even though he thought we weren't going to be on the air, which doesn't make much sense.
Right.
But poor Barrett. Hopefully, let me see if he's texting me back. Maybe he will. No, he hasn't texted me back, so maybe he's flying.
Maybe he's furiously driving over here.
So. Well, you know, he'll come in all sheepish and stuff, too, so that'll be fun. Yeah, hopefully he's listening in his car as he drives down the freeway. All right, so you can visit us online at geekradio.com. You can see the big preemption sign with the dates that will be preempted. And also there's a advertisement for the Geek Gathering, which will be the first Friday of September.
Is that immediately after the preemptions?
Yes.
But before our next show?
Correct. So we'll be off the air for 2 weeks with no ability to promote on the air. But we'll promote via the Facebooks and stuff. That's usually... usually works out. I don't see...
The Twitters.
The MySpaces.
We'll try that social media thing and see if we can do something with that.
Diaspora.
Pinterest. Maybe we need to pin this. Show up to knit.
Orkut. G+. Come on.
Orkut. There you go.
Yeah.
Friends.
Hey, if you log in.
We
got our Brazilian listeners.
If you log into your Orkut account, if you haven't done it in a while, you can link it to your G Plus account.
Well, I should go do that.
Yeah, I did. I did mine because I want all my Brazilian friends to come over to G Plus.
Put it on our Instagram.
Did you do that right after you linked up your MySpace with your Ketchup account?
Yeah. Because we didn't hear that joke the first time. I love you guys.
The last time I didn't have MySpace in it.
Friendlander.
The only reason I did catch up is because I couldn't think of another obsolete social network thing.
That Jay had spammed everybody about.
that turned me into a buffoon. Yeah. I couldn't think of an equally insulting social media platform to torment Jay with, so I just threw ketchup out there.
I know we're missing some.
You know, you missed the boat on the ketchup. I'm making tons of money over it. It enhanced my SEO. I've got it linked to my clout now.
I was about to say, you got some clout points off of that.
Hey, now linking up ketchup.
Has anybody ever, have we looked lately to see if like ketchup is still there? And if
no.
You look.
I'm scared, Mommy. All right. I'm not even going to explain it. This is going to be the inside joke from hell. All right. So visit us online at geekradio.com. You can also hang out in the IRCs with us. That's irc.cuckoo.com if you want to use your own client. Or you can use the webpage at geekradio.com and use our Java client to join the IRC that way. And we hang out in the channel Tech Bites. I still want to call it Pound Tech Bites, but Flicted will glare at me. And so, IRC is the show within a show. We've got a handful of people hanging out there with us. And
you got Facebook?
If you go to geekradio.com, it has a link to our Facebook fan page. Yeah, it'd be nice. We're 2,300
We got
fans.
An unused Flickr account you can log on to if you want to.
Also,
how do you spell that ketchup?
Q-E-T-C-H-U-P.
No.
No.
It's Q-U-E-C-H-U-P. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry on it. I'm good. Go,
is that my picture on there?
No.
You're not mentioned.
You are not mentioned, but I can't determine if it's still around.
It's Quetchup?
Quetchup.
It's Quetchup.
By the way, we have a geek gathering coming up that we can only promote now.
Where have you been?
God, we just mentioned that.
I know. That's why I'm saying it.
No, but yeah, we just had a big long talk about that.
I know.
Where were you?
I was right here, and I'm saying it again because it's the only chance we'll have.
Well, Quechup.
In fact, they're saying it's pronounced Quechup. Quechup is how Wikipedia says you should pronounce it.
And they have a point system where they give you Quaaludes. Well, ketchup.com goes to a direct Nick placeholder.
Maybe
page.
Their name is, it should be pronounced Quechup.
Quechup.
And the secure site is Squeechup.
At least we find ourselves in great shape. All right.
Ooh, I did a Google search for Quechup.
Jay Lee.
Yeah.
And you have a blog entry that comes up as the top hit.
And if anyone out there can edit a Wikipedia page, feel free to add this information to the Quechup wiki page.
Yeah, you could just put it in as a footnote. And
yeah,
then, exactly.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah, there's also the...
Just for fun, just attribute your failure to backlash after they jack Jay.
Well, there's a...
Yeah, so you haven't done anything that stupid in 5 years.
At least. If that.
I'm just let Barrett through the door.
There's a Blogspot article, more on Ketchup from Dwight Silverman. Because Dwight Silverman was... Oh, hey, look, it's Barrett.
Look who's here.
I'm Barrett. I'm not preempted.
Wow.
I really thought... I don't have any phones on, but I thought afflicted. But I bumped into you. I thought you said, no, not this week. It's next week we're preempted. So I didn't check my calendar.
Yeah, after we went... After the show, you said, and we don't have a show next week, right? And I said, no, it's the week after. And you're like, oh, I'm glad we went out because now I know to show up next week.
I had had a pint at that point. A pint.
Well, we were... So was,
yeah, right after you had the other pint.
I remember that now, though.
Right,
yeah,
after you had the other
that.
Pint.
Dwight was asking, we have a Barrett tonight. So as far as I know, we do. And I didn't have my phone with me. It was in the car. So I said, well, maybe he texted it. So say it's going to be late or something. And then I went and got my phone. No text. And then I came back in the studio and I said, I wonder if he thinks we're preempted. And then Flicted came to your defense and said, no, he totally knows we are on the air tonight.
No, I totally forgot. I was actually going to text you around 6 and say, hey, we don't have a show tonight, right? But I felt it would be too embarrassing to me to have forgotten that. You know,
found a way to be even more embarrassing. All right.
I did get here within 10 minutes of putting up the Barrett signal, though. That was pretty speedy, I thought.
That was, you know? No problem.
11 minutes 40? If.
We're glad you showed up. We need you here.
Good to be here.
All right. So that's all the vital information. What we're going to do now is we're going to take this opportunity to go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites info shot while we continue to berate and humiliate Barrett in the studio. Take it away, info shot.
It's the Technology Bites info shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Okay, well, this one comes with a warning. If you're one of those people who just Apple News sort of sets you on edge, I'll tell you when to like tune out for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, and you can come back or, you know, I don't know, go watch something or whatever. But there is tons of Apple News, and so. There you are. But starting out, though, talk about, you know, just freaking cool technology. The Mars Curiosity, there's more, you know, there's news all the time from that. That is just, some of those pictures are just amazing. Today, yeah, Curiosity is now moving without any problems whatsoever. They show... has a story on it. Everybody has a story on it, but we're at about 15 feet, rotate 120 degrees, and then reversing about 8 feet. what happens is they can look at the track and see that everything's okay. So you can see the first few feet, you can see the circle where the tires, you know, where it did the rotation, and then you can see the beginning of, you know, where it started to back up. So that's pretty cool. So now Curiosity is about 20 feet from its landing site. The site is now named Bradbury Landing, named after Ray Bradbury, the author of The Martian Chronicles, which was a short story collection that told the story of you know, Mars colonization, totally not like what Mars is like now. You can also see the marks left by the rockets of the sky crane that dropped Curiosity in some of the pictures. That's pretty cool. So we got our sky car and it's rolling around on Mars, and that's pretty cool. And I'm sure we're going to see lots more neat stuff from Curiosity. That's the now and the future. Looking back to the past and the talk about sort of the power of the internet. There's been a campaign to raise money for the National Wildlife Federation.
Sorry, Mike. That's as much of the girl from Ipanema as I know. I think Pierre is more lost to us than found at this point.
I can hear you. I can hear you doing the girl from Ipanema, which is weird.
You keep cutting out for long periods of time. So I was just it during the break.
So what do we need to do about this? Do we need to look at resetting up the connection, or what's the plan?
You feel like counting?
Tin can and strings.
I switched to KPFT 2.4.
What about Ethernet?
I could try it.
The question is it the internet connection here, or is it Pete?
Or is it my computer?
I would say it's less and less likely to be me, because my computer that I'm using is Etherneted to my internet access point. And I just upgraded to the 24 megabit connection to the internet.
Okay.
Through UVerse. So I think that the likelihood is either.
I mean, it couldn't be. Do we think it's your microphone or your headset?
No, it's a USB microphone hooked right up. I would love an excuse to get a new, like, more expensive one, but.
Are the dogs heavy internet users?
The problem.
I have a feeling that that the likelihood is that it's the hardware that we're connecting up to Skype with on the KPFT end.
I think
that means Flicted's laptop.
What?
That's a burn.
Well, ow. Flicted has known that he's got this problematic laptop for a while, and
although I did ask Groovehouse if the connection seemed fine when I was gone and he was having to use his laptop, and he still said that it was still choppy.
Was it?
And my laptop's older than his.
Yeah. that's not a great test, I don't think.
Dang it. So that mean I have to buy a new laptop?
Or you could just reload your operating system.
Have you tried rebooting?
That trick never works.
Could we run it from mine? Mine's only slightly newer. I mean, the power that I'm saving and I'm like, keyboard, yeah. Maybe just enough to put Peter over the top and unchoppiness on the Skype.
No, here we need a new connection, and that's the problem, is it's the Wi-Fi connection in here.
It's possible that KPFT's actual internet connection and wireless device, but I mean, even like a few weeks ago, I actually physically hooked up to Ethernet, and it didn't really seem to make that big of a difference.
768K up and down should be enough for anybody.
I mean, I can get like the cable out and plug it directly in again.
I've started turning my Wi-Fi off when Pete's on the air, as to not suck up any bandwidth.
You think that?
I back up all my Dropbox files, whatever. Good to go.
Come on, Pirate Bay!
Get your Netflix on.
We're all watching, Lilyhammer while you're doing.
I actually, when the news is going on, I don't know what the price. I'm streaming Honey Boo Boo Child.
Well, I guess one of the things I will try and figure out is I may see about on one of the preempted Wednesdays, maybe go in and see if we can figure out a way to improve the internet setup at the studios one way or another. But
all right. Well, you want to try to do the rest of the news, and you got another story or so?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll do the sort of really fast one that fits in between the cutouts.
Just say everything twice.
That's how you've cut out. Or maybe three or four times.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You're cutting out again.
And that's the news.
I heard a lot of Well, I guess I'll say that the sad thing is, there's all the Apple rumors. The big event is likely for September the 12th, which fortunately is the day we come back. So we'll be able to tell you what happened, even if we can't tell you, even if we can't do the info shot for the lead up.
Yeah. Well, is that right? Because September 12th is
a Wednesday.
So we'll be on the air that day, but we'll be on the air Wednesday before that, won't we?
September 6th? No, that's one of the days we're out.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well.
So at some point the week before, if it is going to happen, probably the Tuesday or so before is when Apple will send out the invitations to the press. So
why is September 12th resonating right now? Where's that information coming from?
That is coming from many, many, many sources that have been reporting leaks and September 12th. And then September 21st is when both Verizon and AT&T have scheduled no vacation time for their employees. And that usually occurs around an iPhone launch. So I hope, Peter, was that what you were going to report?
That was sort of part of the whole rumor lead up. Yeah. Yeah, there's more of the rumors, and as you get closer, obviously they get solid.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, during the thing I did last Saturday at the Hog thing, we went into all of the various iPhone rumors, and that was a lot of fun.
Anything, like any highlights of it you want to share?
Well, just what the known rumors, 4-inch iPhone, taller, more of a HD aspect ratio, LTE. Whether who knows what the pricing will be.
All carriers, or do you know if you're anything about that?
Nope. And judging from T-Mobile's announcement today,
it's not going to happen on T-Mobile.
Right.
Oh, with no limits anymore?
Yeah.
Well, then I talked to my T-Mobile rep, and she said that we're going to get it next year. So she wasn't,
She doesn't know.
Well, it seemed pretty sincere that they weren't getting it.
It's Apple. They don't know. But the logical thing is they'll get it when T-Mobile gets LTE.
Well, T-Mobile would certainly want to be able to keep their customers at the release of the iPhone. So if they had that information, they'd have shared it with me because my contract was up. And if they thought they could keep me, sell me a new contract, they'd have said, we're getting the iPhone coming up. Or they at least had incentive to lie about it. So they didn't even do that.
So T-Mobile has a Galaxy S3, right? Aren't they selling a Galaxy S3?
As far as I know, they have all the same Galaxy phones as everybody else, yeah.
So that's an awesome phone, and you're not at all interested in it, huh?
Well, I read this guy at the Chronicle who says that he might switch to a Galaxy S3, but he's waiting for the iPhone announcement to see. Yes. So I'm...
But here's...
Since I take my lead from him... No, I'm in the same boat. I'm like, I'm interested, but I'm curious to know what it's going to be because I will say this. I've had an Android phone for a long time. This is my second Android phone, and it's just not the same experience as when I'm just doing something on my iPad, or it's just the snappiness, the fluidity. I really like that. And maybe that exists on this, but I don't know. It just seems to me like every Android device I've had kind of deteriorates quickly. And It just it and
you
and,
mean physically or like
no, no, no like the, like the operating like the operating system like this like
a,
the,
in
the,
a
like Windows
3.1 way
yeah it's like a, in a Windows kind of way it seems to deteriorate like that doesn't manage the, and also what I didn't like was I was kind of turned off by the fact that I have the original Galaxy phone, which was the you know the Android Samsung Vibrant, and what was frustrating was that the updates for the new OS weren't coming in a timely fashion. It was Samsung was really holding the operating system hostage. I don't know if that's gotten any better, but they also had all the phones. It's a very good phone. It was very highly rated, but the GPS sucked. And it was a known problem, and they didn't address it. They didn't fix it. They didn't make that better. And it just soured me on it. I'm getting to the point where I just want a device that works. You know, when I take my Android phone out, try to look something up on the internet, it's like it just hangs. It just waits. And I don't like that. I pull out my iPad, it just goes. It just does what it's supposed to do, and I'm done, and I can get moving, do the next thing. So I'm curious to see how the iPhone looks and what it looks like. I'm also very interested in having all my stuff talk to each other and sync up and do what it's supposed to do.
Right. That is a big draw and probably one of the biggest things that might keep me with an iPhone, even if the iPhone 5 isn't that exciting in terms of hardware, is that I mostly have Macs, I have an iPad, my family all has iPhones, and you know, they kind of all interact with each other and do it well. And, you know, do I want to disrupt that?
And also, the other thing I'm considering, too, is that I haven't seen what the camera's like on the new Galaxy, but
it's good. It's very good.
Apple's cameras have been just stellar. And I, you know, my iPad camera, which has the same camera as the iPhone 4, not even the 4S, is a great camera. And I've enjoyed using it as a camera. So I'm curious to have a phone that has good... If I don't use a phone as a phone. I mean, I have the most limited talk plan I can buy. The cheapest one. Because I don't exceed... I have a 300 minutes and I don't even break half of that in a month. So I don't use it as a phone. Because the data has been kind of a little sketchy on mine. I don't even use it for data that much. It's more of an emergency thing to have around... If I had one that worked and did what it was supposed to, I might use it more, but I don't know. Maybe not. So I'm curious. I just want to see what's going to be announced. And be kind
In the non-intuitive rumor side of things, apparently in Europe.
In Europe what?
In Europe, Apple has gotten their premium resellers to...
gotten their premium resellers to... Hello?
Now he's just messing with you.
To triple their...
Sorry, Pete. All right.
Poor Peter.
If you want to, like, can he type in Skype?
Type into IRC and we'll read it for you, Pete.
I'm sorry, Pete. You completely cut out.
I'll turn on my text-to-speech. What voice do you want?
Now he's just gone.
Ouch.
Sorry, Pete. You're just...
Well, it's just the tough question on this side, like what gets through and what doesn't.
Hey,
you know?
Speaking of Galaxy S3, I have it here, and it has this...
Is it going to help Pete with the Skype?
Yeah, can you flicked it off there?
Yeah, let's put...
LTE to the test
here. Let's put LTE to the test and see what happens.
Oh, you want to connect up as they use that as a hotspot for the LTE? Yeah. I could offer up my. I wonder what kind of data consumption that would use.
Well, we'll see.
All right, you've got plenty of data.
This is a review unit, so it's
Bring
Verizon's.
Let's do it. All right, well, let's reconnect the laptop to Dwight's phone and see if we get a better Skype. That'll tell us something. Yes, I think it's the laptop though.
Oh, I don't think it's the laptop.
You don't think it's his laptop?
No. Because
smartphones can push Skype pretty lightweight. I mean, you know, I don't think you need a lot of horsepower for Skype. I wouldn't think.
But Flick's computer really is kind of hosed.
Leave the poor little MacBook Air alone.
He has an original MacBook
Air. Yeah, and it's got that stencil on the back or the sticker on the back.
It's an awesome computer, except that it doesn't compute.
It does not compute.
All right, so, but anyway, yeah, so the thing I'm concerned with on the iPhone, I think the new iPhone might actually be kind of disappointing in comparison to the other phones that are out there. I mean, the Galaxy S3 looks like a really good phone. If the iPhone 5 or the new iPhone or whatever they call it doesn't come out and substantially leapfrog that.
It's the Galaxy S3 is pretty nice. I've handed out 3 or 4 at work just the past week. And I really, I'm not happy at all with my, and I hate to be down Samsung on air, but I'm not happy at all with my Samsung phone. And I suspect yours is probably the same kind of situation with them, just being reticent to push out software. I wouldn't get down on Android just over your
experience with them. I'm not down on Android, but the premier Android phone right now is a Samsung, which gives me pause.
I'm a fan of HTC. I just want them to come out with some awesomeness, you know, like back in the early G1 days.
And of course, what will happen too is no matter how great the new iPhone is, that it'll be, you know, a number of Android phones will come out that'll just completely smoke it in terms of hardware and performance. But I don't know. I don't care about it being the fastest. I just want it to work. I just want it to do what it's supposed to do so that when I actually do pull it out of my pocket and I try to do something with it, it does that thing.
So I know at work you've got a huge mixed, system. But do you have any like non-Apple stuff at home? Is this going to be one of the last devices you kick out? Are you going to be full-on Apple stable all the way around?
My wife still has a computer running Vista, and
it's the only one in the house.
It's the only one in the house. I'm going to get.
Wow.
I want to get a new iMac for myself. The problem with, have you seen this on your iMac? My iMac has a. The screen has a kind of a cloud, like a dark spot coming in from one side. It doesn't really affect how you view
it. Is it there all the time?
All the time.
Yeah, no, I don't see that.
Now you can hear me because one of the things I wanted to say has to do with IMAX.
Ah, and that sounds much
better. That sounds really good.
You can hear the phones again.
All right, so what do you want to say about IMAX? Oh, we jumped the gun too.
Wow. No, there he is.
So I'm back. the two things that were sort of non-intuitive pieces to the upcoming announcement is in Europe, Apple has asked its premium resellers to triple the space dedicated to the iPad by September the 12th. So that's interesting, and you wonder where they're going with that. Is that tied to a smaller, you know, to an iPad mini? And then the other one that's an odd one is the 27-inch iMac is in short supply just about everywhere, and the stores don't seem to be able to restock. So the thoughts are that there may be a brand new iMac coming in the next, in whatever big round of announcements there are.
Well, that would be interesting.
Is there a delay on shipping the iMac 27-inch iMac on Apple's website?
The third-party resellers are not able to replenish or are completely out of stock.
The resellers
on 27 models. Now, Apple stores have been doing fine. Retailers like Best Buy, Future Shop, and Amazon, however, said they had little or no stock at all of the larger iMac, especially the top-end model.
Hmm.
So,
yeah, it shows it all is in stock on the website.
Well, I want
to... seems to be kind of, one more thing. We updated all the iMacs, and then they move on.
Do you have any way of recording or tracking how much data this Skype call is going to use by the end of the
show? There's latest version of Android is a list of all the apps and how much they pull down. And so when we're done, it'll show Skype and it'll show how much. I haven't used. It's not Skype. It's the hotspot. So we can look at the hotspot.
Can you look at the hotspot and see how much it's used? Because if it's not an incredible amount of data, I mean, if it's like in the hundreds of megs or less, I could set my iPad up as a hotspot.
Do the same thing,
And do the same thing to use to connect to Skype. Mm-hmm. So that might be an option, or we'll use Barrett's data.
Barrett's once on. I switch phones, I'm on 3G data speeds right now. I'm on CDLP.
Yeah. Any idea how much it costs to replace the monitor on an iMac?
No, but it's probably, you may as well
buy a new iMac.
Buy a new one, at that point. And, you know, you could, there may be something they could do. You could take it in to the Apple Store and say, look at this. Let's see what they say. I know that mine, when I use it for a long time, it's not called burn-in. There's some other thing that it's called, but it leaves almost like a smudge, like where the dock is, which is where it's stayed in place.
Yeah.
And so when I go, like, to a light screen or some other thing where the dock goes away and it's just white, I can kind of see almost like ghost images. When I turn it off or put it to sleep and then come back later, those are gone. So it's a temporary thing on that model, but it does go away.
Mine has like a, it almost looks as if it had a mag. It's not the multicolor like a magnet.
Right.
Like you had a magnet next to it, but there's just like this smudge that comes in from the saw.
Yeah.
And it seems to be there all the time. And if you go to a full white background, you can't see it. But you do anything else, you can see it.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I want to, it's still a great computer. I still want to keep using it. But
people online are saying it could be dust behind the screen. Does that sound at all right?
Yeah, I got an ant stuck in there crawling around on the inside of the screen one time. Yes, yes.
Well, this is apparently a problem with this era iMac.
Uh-huh.
But I've read some people say it's dust, but one guy talks about taking it apart, but I think I'm not going to try to take it apart. We shall see. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites, we'd be happy to take your call. It's not a fundraiser. Oh, by the way, we did really well during the fundraiser last week, so thanks, everybody, for calling in and pledging. You pledged so well and did such a great job that Barrett just took all the money and
I'm out.
So I'm out of here. No, it was really awesome to meet our goal and have that success. So I appreciate everybody pledging their support last week. All right, 713-526-5738 to be on the air with us tonight. Groove House?
Yes.
Who's up?
All right, up first on the show, we are going to take Laura.
Laura, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello. Well, I had a problem. I have not been getting some emails from email groups, including mail that I forwarded to these groups. And these groups are usually like Yahoo discussion groups. And for some reason, I'm just not getting those emails. And I even checked my spam folder and my spam filter even. And I found no emails in the spam folder and nothing in the... No email addresses in the spam filter, so I don't know. I wonder if it's...
Who's your email service? What email are you using?
AOL.
AOL. So you use the AOL mail client, or are you accessing via the web, or what?
I'm accessing via the web.
I'm not sure why that would be happening. You're so when a message is sent to one of these Yahoo groups that you're subscribed to, you're not getting the message.
Right. I sent a message earlier, just a test message to Houston Normal, and for some reason I didn't get the message, and for some reason ever since this afternoon I haven't been getting anything from any Yahoo groups.
And this is something you just noticed mostly today?
Yeah, I've noticed it mostly today, but...
There might be a problem with the Yahoo groups. I mean, they're not sending mail out, or have you double-checked your Yahoo group subscriptions to make sure that you've set that up for... that they're still configured for mail notifications of... Because, with the Yahoo groups, you can do different types of subscriptions. You can do the one where they don't send you anything, or they send you a digest, or they send you individual notifications when a new message is posted to the group. So, have you gone back into those Yahoo groups and looked at your settings?
No, but I haven't done anything to change settings or anything with the Yahoo groups.
But it's still work. I mean, you're going to call into a radio show and explain your problem to us, and that's going to have about as much chance of fixing this as going into your own settings and taking a look, so... I would say go look, just in case. And I understand that you didn't make a change, but that is the diagnostic method that I would use to see why you're not getting those messages. You've done the right thing by checking your junk folders and your spam folders, so if it's not showing up there, it sounds to me like the message is not actually being delivered. Two things can cause that. One is that the settings on the group have changed, and it wouldn't surprise me to find out that Yahoo did something and it just kind of triggered a bunch of default changes to these groups, or maybe something else had happened.
Yeah, so it could be that Yahoo's having a problem with the groups and
right.
They're not putting out mail.
Right. So I would say go check your settings, just verify that and make sure that that's the way it needs to be. Also do some perusing maybe online and see if anybody else is reporting problems with email from Yahoo groups and see what's going on. But, I don't know if it's not coming into your email. It could also try setting up a new email account through somebody like Gmail or something and change your subscriptions over to that new address and see if they start coming into there, because maybe it could also be a problem with AOL. I had a situation where mail from a particular, we use an online fax service. It's designed, when a fax comes in, it notifies you via email. Well, we made a change to our firewall, and those emails were bouncing. And that was at my office. It was just a change in the firewall. So it may be something going on with AOL, or it may be something going on with Yahoo. Anyway, wish you a lot of luck. Good luck on running that down. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air tonight with Technology Bites, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to take Scott.
Yes, I am still having problems. Okay, this is a new computer with a Windows 7 system and still having problems with internet linking. And in fact, I think
what do you mean by internet linking?
Okay, contacting the internet.
Like being able to open up a web browser and see a web page?
Yeah.
So are you not getting it? Are you not getting any internet at all?
Yes, I do get internet, but then it starts from time to time. It'll tell me that a page cannot be contacted, and I'm also unable to download email. That at first I did download a big backlog of email. Now, about the last 3 or 4 weeks, I have not been able to download email at all.
Well, you called in with this same problem last week. What did we tell you last week?
Let me see.
You have 20 seconds.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, well, okay. I remember you calling in a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't last week. It was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there was some issue where you had connected your computer to, you got this new computer, you connected to the internet, and you pulled down all your email.
Yeah, I did.
And then, if I remember, I talked to a lot of people, but if I remember correctly, you were having some problem getting new emails.
Yeah.
And we were concerned that maybe you had pulled down, your mail program was stuck because there's so much email trying to come down or something.
Yeah.
And we wanted you to maybe move that mail that you had in your inbox to another folder or something. Does that sound familiar? I don't remember.
I don't know whether you... I don't think you suggested that. No, you did suggest, I guess, taking the computer into the Micro Center where I bought it, but the problem with that is I'm sort of disabled and cannot very well...
What mail program? What mail
computer around.
What mail program are you using?
Thunderbird.
All right, so you're not getting... So when's the last time you got a new email message in your inbox?
About 3 or 4 weeks ago.
All right, so...
Well, I got about... Oh, I guess I got about 10 messages, and then it bogged up.
Hmm. Well, and who's your email provider?
The provider, pdq.net. That's both email and... internet.
Okay, so you're using PDQ. Are you using dial-up internet access?
Yes, I'm using dial-up. Yeah.
All right. So when you dial in with... It's been a long time since I've ever tried to troubleshoot a dial-up internet connection, so it's really... I'm rusty on it.
Okay, is the dial-up really gotten that bad?
I don't know that it's necessarily gotten that bad.
But it never got better. Because if somebody now sends an email that they don't think of... problem sending as a large email, to go down a dial-up pipe is a big deal.
Right. Okay. So if somebody was to, say, send you a file attachment with a several meg file attached to it.
Look at the picture of my granddaughter. It's like an 8 meg picture.
And you're trying to download it. It may be choking or causing a problem for you to download because it's so large. Does PDQ offer you a way to view your email via a website?
Yes. I look at it on the website.
And you are seeing your new messages there?
Yeah, there's about 1,200 messages.
Is there a way to sort that based on the size of the message?
I don't believe so.
Hmm.
Okay.
But if there's a way in the website to sort mail based on size, or if you can see anything, because a lot of times when I look at the web interface, it'll tell me how large the attachment is.
Yeah.
So I would go through your email and see if there's anything with a particularly large attachment.
Yeah.
Now, the
website does tell me the sizes of the messages.
Right. Are you seeing anything particularly large in there?
Most of them are not too large.
Okay. Most of them. That means.
Okay. Now, is there a good way to test whether the problem is with my system or is it with a provider?
Here's one thing. If you can see it, if we go along the reason that Flicted had it, maybe you've just got some really large attachments or some large emails that aren't coming down. If you go into Thunderbird, you can actually check a box that says fetch headers only, and that's not going to try and download anything but like the message object and who it's from and the date it was sent.
Yeah.
That may tell you if it's an issue with a large attachment that's clogging things up.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know how to do that?
Okay, I don't see large messages.
Okay.
Because I can look on the website and see how, and it does tell me how big each message is.
Now, what do you consider to be a large message? I'd say anything a meg or larger.
A thousand kilobytes.
That's a meg.
Okay, a meg, yeah. That's what I'd call large.
Okay.
They're all well under, a lot of them are under 100K.
Okay. All right,
Were you able to sort them by message size?
I don't know.
Because otherwise you have to look through...
I don't think I can sort them.
Well, because otherwise you have to look through all 1,200. Because the thing is, it's not like you need a whole bunch of big ones. You just need one large one
to
really bork up the whole download. Because it's going to download them in order. It doesn't randomly go through. Yeah. So as soon as it hits that big one, it's going to sit there trying to download it. Until
I bet
it
you
dies.
Got it about a month ago, too,
say,
right?
When you're not stopping me down. Messages every day.
Okay, I just
on the website.
I looked at PDQ.net's services for dial-up, and one of the things it offers is 5 2-gigabyte email boxes.
Oh.
So that means that your email inbox has a limit of 2 gig.
Yeah.
If you hadn't downloaded your email over a long period of time,
but he's seeing it in webmail. He's getting new messages when he views it through the web interface. So it's
it's completely bogged up.
Yeah, it's
right.
Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Now I wonder whether there might be a virus on my system, or
You know how to check for that.
It's possible. It's also possible that the Thunderbird database system could be corrupted.
There is a Norton security program installed. It came with a computer.
Okay.
Now they also sold me 2 discs of it's called NOD32.
All right.
I haven't tried installing that. I think they might interfere with it. Do they interfere with each other?
Yes. As we've mentioned in previous episodes of the show, and I know you listen because you call so often. You don't want to run multiple antivirus programs at the same time.
Well,
so I think leaping to the virus conclusion is not really where I would go. What I think is happening is that there's possibly a corruption or a configuration issue with your email client. And now one way you can test to see if this is the case...
When you say email client, are you talking
Thunderbird.
About a provider, or are you talking about my system?
Well, when you talk about a client, we're talking about your system.
Okay.
When you use the word client, it means you. When you use provider, it means your service provider. So when you say use the word client, I'm talking about Thunderbird.
Yeah.
So what
I'm... 2 ago, I reinstalled the system.
How long ago?
The OS?
A week or two ago.
The entire OS?
Didn't really improve things much.
OS? When you say you reinstalled the system, you mean the entire OS from scratch?
I reinstalled Windows 7 from some DVDs that I had made the second day I had the computer.
Okay, and so you completely reset up the system, and then you went back and you reinstalled Thunderbird, and you configured Thunderbird to connect to your mail.
Reinstalled Thunderbird, and of course it...
And it downloaded the exact same messages that you had before and then hung at the same point?
Well, it did not. Yeah. I don't think it downloaded anything.
Well, how do you have any message? Okay, let me ask you this. How do you have any messages if you completely reloaded your system and then Thunderbird didn't download anything?
Well, I took the messages that had been downloaded and I put them on a disk.
Okay, so you brought those over when you... Okay,
so they were... They're gone from the computer now.
Okay, so...
But there's, the 1,200 messages are out on the provider's website.
Well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try calling PDQ?
Yeah.
And talk to them about the problems you're having getting your email and let one of their skilled technicians go through and check your email settings and check your client. And they can also look at their servers to see if you have a particularly large mail store or something else going on that may be causing this problem.
Well, I think I've called them twice or maybe three times, and they haven't figured it out.
Well, there's also companies that will provide you, other companies that will provide you computer support at your home. I know the computer hospital is one. They can do some phone support. I'm not able to give you the kind of tech support it sounds like you're going to need to be able to sort this problem out. But if I was to guess, if you're getting internet most of the time, then at least you've got an internet connection and that's good. But if you're having intermittent internet connection problems, you may have a faulty modem.
Okay, there are intermittent connection problems.
Okay, well, so like I said, if you're having intermittent internet connection problems, then that could be a sign that either PDQ's having an issue, your phone line's having an issue, or your modem's having an issue.
Yeah.
It's super hard to diagnose.
Okay.
And I hated my job and I hated my life when I did support for dial-up internet access.
Uh-huh.
It's not a fun thing to try to troubleshoot and try to sort out. It can be very, very problematic.
How much are you paying for that dial-up internet access?
About $180 a year.
So
15, not that much.
Not much. So you're paying.
So you're saying that it's cheap and I'm getting cheap service.
Well, no, what we're saying is that how much more would it cost you to get basic DSL service?
Okay, I am considering DSL for next year when the renewal comes up.
Well, I would consider that strongly.
Yeah.
You're trying to do stuff on dial-up these days. I mean, I know that's a lot of people's only access to the internet is dial-up, but it is getting more and more problematic because the amount of data that people are trying to push down that pipe.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that some websites are more problematic than others.
Well, a lot of these websites these days are designed with, they don't even think about how fast your connection is.
They don't
even
care about dial-up.
Right. They're not designing these pages to load nicely on a dial-up connection because they got some very intense graphics. And they'll fly on a DSL or a cable modem connection, but I can't even imagine trying to view some of these sites with a dial-up connection.
Okay. Craigslist might still do pretty well.
Yeah.
And a lot of these websites have not changed substantially in their content as far as I can see, but they certainly have gotten slower.
Well, their HTML is, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to what websites you're visiting but
Daily Coast, Wikipedia. Wikipedia started crashing one of my browsers.
Wikipedia is pretty textual. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think we're going to have to let you go and let you, work on that for a bit. You may want to,
Going to broadband, the difference in the number of calls that we have about somebody's internet connection, we used to take where half the show was dial-up networking calls, and when people started going to broadband, the number of calls that are about that kind of connection issue went through the floor. They're so rare that I don't remember the last time that somebody really had a connection issue that wasn't dial-up.
Now, one thing that the caller mentioned is that he is having stuff crashing his browser and crashing his system, and he says this is a relatively new computer that he's even reloaded recently. So if you suspect that it's a spyware issue, I mean, if you have noticed that you've had problems with viruses, trojans, and spyware, certainly go to geekradio.com, and if it doesn't crash your browser...
Well, but if he thinks it's... The other thing is, he thinks it might be a virus, but he said he reloaded the OS.
So right, so I don't think it's a virus.
Unless it's like a virus, like one of those like really cool new viruses that writes into your like, you know, like hard drive ROM
a boot sector virus would do it. And I just ran across a nasty one last
week.
Maybe
he's got like New York Boys virus from like 1986.
Well, the other thing that I fear is that he may have installed some other piece of software on this computer that's not completely compatible with it.
The other thing is, how long would it take a virus, like a Trojan, to download over dial-up?
Viruses are pretty svelte and ready to go. I don't know. I remember dealing with dial-up, and I get twitchy thinking about it.
Go and take a screwdriver and tighten the screws on the DMARC box on the side of your house.
Make sure squirrels haven't chewed through the wires.
Oh, gosh.
No rain. There's so many things that can go wrong.
I can remember, you know, when I would be on the phone with someone who was fortunate enough, you know, to have two phone lines even so that they could dial into the internet at the same time as they were talking to you on the phone. I can remember listening to the modem squeal and actually being able to tell if they had a bad phone line or not. Because you could tell the squeal was just slightly different, or there'd be some interruptions in it that weren't proper if they had like a faulty phone connection. I didn't ever want to be that familiar with dial-up again. All right, well, we are approaching... Wow, we're just in that weird limbo time, too. I hate that. So we'll just rant a little bit more about dial-up. But I don't remember what the prices are currently on DSL, but you can get it for not much more than what you're paying for your dial-up.
Packages for around $20 here and there. You know, some of them might be like 6 months or year introductory, but you can get DSL for not too much.
So I would definitely consider upgrading to a faster connection.
I would say especially when you're talking about it, sounded like he has some disability, some limitations on that. If you're stuck in the house, getting broadband internet opens up a lot more of the world to you.
Be the best thing ever.
Right. And you could also try, I mean, the thing that strikes me on the call is that he had a lot of intermittent problems, and it just really seems to be tied to that dial-up.
I would tell him he can't call back till he's got broadband. We're not talking to you. Broadband.
My heart goes out to
him. Take his next call by Skype.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got to make sure he keeps on. He knows how to use the digital phone.
All right. So if you want to get in the queue to be on the air with us in the second hour of the program, the phone number is 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We are what? Groovehouse has this weird look.
Oh, we got all lines open.
All the lines are open.
There's no Barrett time either, so we'll go straight into.
I wonder why that is.
I wonder.
Could you kind of wing it?
No.
We have no Barrett time. We have no Barrett on time.
Barrett out of time. Well, Barrett could talk for 5 minutes about the Geek Gathering.
I was just going to make fun of Barrett's post this morning. He says, time to make the donuts.
Yeah, that's an old school.
I know, but I read that it's time to break the donuts.
No.
What do we have going up in a couple of weeks? Now, we're not on the air next week, Barrett.
I'm going to be here all by myself. Where are you guys?
Where's everybody at? Everybody's lost but me. And the week after that. So
okay.
For 2 weeks, we aren't here.
We'll be
back the third week. But there's a Geek Gathering.
So, yeah, the Geek Gathering, first Friday of the month.
Right. September
7th, yeah.
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 But it's about that time.
So write it down, Barrett. On September the 5th, be sure you're in the studio.
You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Yay, Groovehouse.
Yay. Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards, but if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and, at the same time, take care of unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's really that simple to support the station you have come to rely on for music, news, and public affairs programs. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You are tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Hey, this is the Blues Hound, and I think you're going to want to know about this upcoming blues event. I'm talking about Boogie Blues and Brews, scheduled for September 21st through 23rd at Walter Hall Park in Lake City. There will be performances by Nick Gatton, Umbrella Man, Step Rideau, the Zydeco Outlaws, the Octanes, and Luther and the Healers, Texas Johnny Brown, the Quality Blues Band, Marsha Ball, Jimmy Vaughn with Luann Barton, Grady Gaines, the Tex Upsetters, and Lost Lonely Boys. And if that's not enough, there will also be a Sunday gospel brunch, a chili cook-off, and a sweet tea taste-off. It's fun for the whole family. A portion of the proceeds will benefit the Galveston County Food Bank, Bay Area Habitat for Humanity, and the Clear Creek Environmental Foundation. For more information, please visit www.boogiebluesandbrews.com. KPFT Houston.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
Is there a Barrett time tonight?
Rumor around town said that you didn't know there was a show tonight.
We have a show tonight?
Barrett's not here. Hey, Barrett, where are you? What's up? You know there's a show tonight?
Having some dinner.
Were you watching TV?
No. I was actually...
Were you on a date? Sorry, babe. Lucky. Gotta go.
Lucky.
Not lucky if you're getting called by your radio show to get your butt into the studio. Damn it.
Sorry, babe. Duty calls.
They love that. They love it when you do that.
I gotta go. I'll catch it next time.
I'll be back. I'll be back in 2 hours. I promise.
Stay here.
No, they won't.
Keep your motor running.
They love that.
Don't hang on to that thought, baby. Oh, it's fun at someone else's expense.
We've forgotten all about ketchup.
Quaker.
Tomato.
We got a full bank of calls.
All right. Well,
won't somebody please look at the calls?
Please think of the calls.
All right. Back to Technology Bites and the people who call it. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
All right. Second half of the show.
Second half.
That's right.
Shoe phone. Where am I?
Yeah. All
right. Did you hear what Flickton did?
I didn't listen to the radio on the way over. I should have.
You should have. Well, can you do that again or is effects?
I don't remember what I said.
It was a shoe.
Really?
And I suck a
radio show.
I suck in a shoe. There's no show.
It was kind of a little Joe Washington thing going on there. All right. Groovehouse, sorry about that.
No, we're good.
Yeah.
This is great.
Who's
this is awesome. Great.
This is so funny.
I love you guys. This is awesome.
You know, this radio show right here.
This
is so much better than
I know, I'm serious, guys. I'm totally serious right now.
Guys, that.
This is so much better than the preemptive version.
It's not funny!
You're going to miss this for 2 weeks. You're going to miss this.
God. All right, Groovehouse.
It's our new segment, Barrett Rant.
But where in the world is Barrett?
You won't miss the show again, will you?
Never.
Al.
Never gonna miss.
Groovehouse. Yes. Who's up next?
All right. Up next on the second half of the show, we're going to start off with Alton.
Alton, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
You don't have a dial-up, do you, Alton?
No, he's got a BlackBerry.
Same difference.
Yeah, I got dial-up, guys, that's for sure. How y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
I got to tell you, I love your show. I really do.
Well, thanks.
So, hey, before I get on to my issue, I wanted to kind of interject on that last guy there.
Yeah.
You know, with Windows 7, you can open up multiple Internet browser windows at the same time, whereas before you couldn't do that with previous versions of Internet Explorer. If he's trying to open up multiple windows on a dial-up, man, he's going to crash it every single time. So I didn't hear y'all bring it up, but I wanted to throw that out.
No, that's a good point. So you're saying that if he's trying to use multiple windows or multiple tabs or multiple browsers at the same time, that may be taxing the Internet connection, causing things to crash.
That and the Internet Explorer itself, and plus with the websites being, like y'all said, based on the broadband systems, broadband Internet connection, it may be just timing out because it's just too big. You know, that's why he's getting there. He can't connect on that side, too. And then going to his email, you know, he said he reloaded his operating system. I don't know if that Thunderbird is a POP3 email system.
I'm sure it is.
He may need to go in and check his POP3 settings for the incoming and outgoing mail server.
Well, what he indicated when he called previously was that he had set this computer up and configured it to download his email, and it downloaded like 1,200 email messages. So he apparently has never taken his mail off the server. He's always configured his... So what I'm worried about is that his data store got corrupted or something might have gotten hung up in his mail account. But unfortunately, sure. I don't know how good PDQ's tech support is, but I've seen strange things happen with POP accounts. And I mean, he needs to actually get an email client configured to pull that mail down and remove it from the server. But it was beyond what we could really help with tonight, but.
I agree.
Thanks for bringing it back up.
Anyway, moving on to what I have, something more on the corporate or the business side for you guys. I have an email. I got a server at my company, and we use a small business server 2003 with Server Exchange, where we host our own email for the T1. In addition to that, I have a 9930 BlackBerry. So here's my question. On my BlackBerry, I have five email account set up on my BlackBerry. Three are Yahoo accounts, one is a Hotmail account, and then the fifth one is my business server exchange account. If I go into the Yahoo or the Hotmail account and I hit delete on an email, it'll ask me to give me the option, do you want to delete it on the handheld? Do you want to delete it on the handheld and the server? Or do you want to delete on both? But when I go into the server exchange email for my client, for the email that we host, it only gives me the option to delete it on the handheld. It will not allow me to delete it on the mailbox. So I'm wondering if y'all know some way to set that up where when I delete it on my BlackBerry, it'll delete it off the mailbox on the server exchange.
Well, it is Exchange.
It is Exchange, yes.
But you're not using a BlackBerry Enterprise server to access it.
I am not using that system.
Okay, so I don't know how. I've not used one in that situation. I've always used the Bez, which allows you to synchronize what's on the handheld with what's on the server.
But okay.
My guess is that the way that this thing works is it only pulls down a copy of the message from the server, and it doesn't talk back for deleting those messages.
I would have to agree with you, because when I reply back on a sent message, it does not synchronize with my sent box.
Right, so it's not actually updating new information to your Exchange account. So
that's correct.
So any mail that you send from the BlackBerry, you're not seeing that in your sent folder either?
I'm not seeing it. It's on the sent folder on the BlackBerry, but not on the sent folder on the mailbox.
Right. Now, how is that configured to connect to the Exchange server? Are you using some kind of POP or...?
No. I use the BlackBerry system where there's a way to go in there and set up mailboxes where you don't have to use the Enterprise server system.
Right. The other way, I guess they have don't they have the desktop manager?
They do have the desktop manager, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Really, that's not really for setting up the email accounts, though.
Yeah.
It's but the email would have to use POP or IMAP or MAPI, right?
It's not using POP. As far as the IMAP and the MAPI, I'm not sure which one it's using. I'm sorry. That's getting a little bit beyond my technical range on the server exchange.
I've never really worked with BlackBerrys much, so I don't actually know what they would use.
Yeah, now see, when I had my previous BlackBerry, and I can't remember the model number, I didn't have a problem with that. It gave me the option either on the handheld or the handheld or the mailbox. But as soon as I switched over to this 9930, it would not allow me to do that.
Hmm.
So this is starting to sound like hey, Alton, you're a really nice guy, call BlackBerry.
Or call your exchange admins. But I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it doesn't actually make the change to the exchange server. It's weird that it's a one-way conversation. But again, I've never connected to an exchange server or an exchange email system with a BlackBerry with anything other than a BlackBerry Enterprise server.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm guess it could. What do you know? What version of Exchange they're running?
I just know it's a Small Business Server 2003. So whatever's bundled in that package is what it is.
All right. And it may be a very limited version of Exchange as well. So,
But like I said, I mean, when I had my previous BlackBerry, whenever I deleted an email, I had it set up exactly identical. It had that option of the handheld, and mailbox.
So. Oh, really? So your previous BlackBerry device, it in the same exchange setup, it worked the way it was supposed to?
Yeah. I think it's something with this 9930 that's set up different.
Yeah, call
and
BlackBerry.
I can't figure it out.
Call BlackBerry. I mean, it sounds like if it worked on another phone, it should work on this phone.
Okay.
So maybe maybe there's just something you're missing in the settings. I haven't played enough with it. BlackBerry, like I said, it sounds like it should delete it. It seems like it would, but I don't know for sure. But I call if it existed on your previous phone and it's not existing on this phone, I would contact BlackBerry and see what they say about your settings. And there might be a way to swap it where you switch it to maybe you did configure it for a different kind of server. I don't know for sure.
You may want to look at real quick before you go, you may want to look into something called BlackBerry Enterprise Server Express. It looks like maybe BlackBerry knows that, not a lot of people want to pay, a bunch of money for, a central messaging server. So it's a plug-in that will go into Microsoft, and it says it wirelessly synchronizes Microsoft Exchange with a bunch of other things with your BlackBerry. So it kind of offers up, the enterprise server for BlackBerry, services, but it's going to be pushing from that 2003 server that you've got, possibly, if it supports 2003, if it goes back that far. But, yeah, it's BlackBerry Enterprise Server Express, or BESX is how it's
I'll take a look at that. I appreciate that, guys. That leads me in a different direction, so.
Okay, well, appreciate your call.
Guys, have a good one.
All right,
enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right,
bye.
713-526-5738. We had four calls. We talked to one. One went away. Two left in the queue, so we got open lines. If you want to be on the air with us, we got another good 40 minutes, 45 minutes left in the show to talk to you. Let Barrett.
My BlackBerry won't dial up. I don't know if I can take another call like that.
Put on the LTE over here.
Wait, yeah, what's in the queue here? No modem calls? Okay, we got some modern technology. That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this the Y2K show?
Although one does say AT&T.
AT&T Mobile Share. I'm hoping that's tethering.
That's the new data, shared data plans that AT&T
offers. Dwight's an expert on that, so maybe he'll pay attention to this call.
They asked for Dwight. I don't know.
Did
they ask for Dwight?
They specifically asked for Dwight.
I bet it's Ed T. I'll bet you $1.
Shall we?
I bet you. All right,
put your money, everybody. Money on the table.
Money on the table.
Right here.
Pot's right.
Everything goes to the kitty.
No.
That's right. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. Up next on the show, we're going to take Ed or Dwight.
Is it Ed T?
No, it's Ed M.
Oh.
Oh.
But I did ask for Dwight because, I'm kind of on the fence on moving to this new shared data plan. And we've got 5 iPhones and an iPad that I'm paying $30 a month for right now. And
you're a regular 1%er, aren't you?
The fact that tethering would be included in the shared data plan. That's correct, huh?
Yes.
So is, and I assume everything's going to ultimately go to LTE, but I wanted to ask you guys, is tethering from an iPhone, do you get decent speeds off of it?
Well, right now an iPhone is 3G, so the answer is not really.
Okay.
If the next iPhone is an LTE iPhone, it'll probably be a lot better. Right now we're tethering Peter off of a Verizon Galaxy S3 on LTE, and he sounds really good over Skype. And he was breaking up over the Wi-Fi. So LTE is pretty good.
I have the Verizon iPad with tethering, the hotspot, and I get great throughput.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like I say, I was on the fence, and then I apologize, Dwight, if you had written about this, but I didn't realize that tethering was included, and that kind of locks it for me. I'm going to go for it for our family.
They're giving free tethering on the plan for all devices?
On the mobile share plans, they do. And so, you know, it essentially costs out of your total bucket. And if you go over, you know, there's an overage fee per gigabyte.
Does AT&T offer the hotspot on the iPad yet?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For additional fee?
No. No, on the iPad, there's no additional fee on it.
Yeah.
Really? On the AT, when did that change? Because it wasn't on there before. On the iPad 3, didn't have the hotspot. Verizon does, but AT&T did not offer the hotspot.
I may be wrong with that, then.
I think you're wrong.
I may be wrong with that.
Have you, and I realized, Dwight, I think you might be switching to Verizon anyway.
Well, I haven't decided yet. And I did blog posts on switching to... possibly to an Android device, and I did a post about switching to from AT&T to Verizon. And there are so many moving parts with both of them, particularly since I have a family plan like you do, that it's expensive and complex, and I'm not the only person making the decision.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens.
Okay, great. So bottom line, tethering from an iPhone, it's okay now. Should be better under 4G, huh?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
All right, who's next on the Dwight Show? 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Have you all seen the iPhone 5 parody video yet? It's iPhone 5. I think I should try to turn my volume up on that a little bit.
It also helps to see it because it looks just like the promotional iPhone videos that they do, that Apple does.
I'm going to play just the first little bit of this.
Before designing the iPhone 5, we studied how customers use their iPhones, and we discovered something pretty interesting. People only use iPhones to take photos of their food. They're sad and alone, so they use pictures of food to create the illusion of a fulfilling life. With that knowledge, we went back to the drawing board, introducing the iPhone 5.
And at that point, he holds up a DSLR.
With the Apple logo on it.
With the Apple logo on it. Nice. We realize people only use their iPhone to take pictures of their food. What are you about to do there? What do you got there?
This is the Galaxy S.
3.
I'm just wondering if it's got a little bitty... razor, like a little electric razor right here, a little shaver.
It's a fingerprint scanner. I'm kidding.
I think it's a little razor.
Flash?
It's a little foil. No, the flash is here. I think this is a little foil for a razor so you can, like, trim your mustache.
Trim your hipster beard.
Your hipster beard. I was just your little jazz beard.
Your big burly thing. Whatever, man.
That's not a hipster beard. Is there always big burly hipster now?
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I was coined the term hateful hipster hat. Wearing his hateful hipster hat. All right, so 713-526-5738. Who's up next, Groove House?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to talk to Ernest.
Ernest.
Hello. Can y'all hear me okay?
You sound like you're talking inside of a Campbell's soup can.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No.
I've got a HP desktop running Vista.
Okay.
My DVD player quit working. So I went ahead and bought a portable. Figured I'd do an easy pick. But it won't work either.
When you say a portable, it's a USB?
Yes, USB.
So you plug it in, what happens?
Nothing. Same as the one that's built in.
And it's Vista, you say?
Yes.
And what software are you using when you want to burn DVDs? We got something installed on there?
Oh, we just lost him. All right, well, go ahead and...
He did have some connection issues because he actually called back in, or got hung up on a call back.
If you... I found an article, and if he's still listening, there's a CD or DVD drive does not work as expected on a computer that you upgraded to Windows Vista. So I don't, this could apply to all Vista computers or one that was upgraded, but it's Microsoft support article 929461. That's 929461. And they talk about, I've encountered this problem with HPs before, and there's a registry setting that gets, I don't know if it gets out of whack or if it's just not any good. And it has to do with the Easy CD Creator or Roxio or mm-hmm. something. It makes an alteration to the registry, which causes any DVD or CD drive connected to the computer not to work. So there's a registry hack to fix this. But there's there's an auto fix, maybe. But if you find Microsoft article 929461, it describes how to make this registry fix to clear out these two entries that get set that make it where these things don't work. So hopefully he's still listening, and I'll just say it again. It's Microsoft support article 929461. So if you just Google search KB as in knowledge base, KB 929461, you'll find the article, and it'll tell you how to fix it.
Jenny, I've got your number.
KB929461. Yeah.
There you go.
I made that work, sort of.
Have y'all seen the guy doing lip syncing on Chat Roulette to Call Me Maybe?
Mm-mm.
You should really watch it.
Okay.
Lip syncing to Call Me Maybe on Chat Roulette.
There's a whole bunch of things wrong with that sentence.
I didn't even mention the other parts that were wrong. But it's so wrong that it's right.
Is it the remake, or is it the Call Me Maybe Chat Roulette 39? All these look kind of dangerous.
I don't know.
Don't play it over the...
No.
It's just the song. It's just the song, which also shouldn't be played on the air.
Unless it's the remake.
But it's the song. It's, yeah, okay. I don't know anything about remakes.
We'll save that for later. It's like the Brony stuff.
Oh, no, the Brony stuff doesn't get saved. That's flicked out of that a while ago.
So, I mean, I got to email this to myself here.
Call me, baby. There's also a really, you know, good one with...
Whoa!
Gotcha.
You can't unsee it, Barrett. You can't unsee it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Watching the people's reactions and stuff, it's hilarious.
It's Call Me Maybe, or what's the name of the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Carly Jepsen's.
I was going to say, now. I don't remember who sings it.
Brilliant. Carly Jepsen.
It's not Call Me Maybe. What's the actual name of the song?
Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, it is Call Me Maybe.
Yeah. She was an American Idol.
I had actually, it was funny, like, everybody was talking about that song, and I had never heard it. And then I saw a Cookie Monster remake of it.
That was the
first thing I saw having to do with the whole meme. I didn't know about the song. I didn't know about the meme.
But then the
Cookie Monster thing showed up, and it made no sense to me. I don't get
this. I knew it was based on a song, but I'd never heard the song. And then I saw another one, and I don't remember what it was, and then I heard the real song. And I was disappointed that I actually heard it, although actually it is a really catchy song. But then the Chat Roulette one is the real song. It's just really funny watching the video with that guy.
Hmm. As it always is, watching that guy. Is that the guy that plays the piano, or is it something else?
It's the guy in the G-string.
It's the other guy. It's the other guy.
I was thinking of the guy that did the piano where he's like, you know, has the Chat Roulette and he's making up lyrics as it goes by.
Yeah.
And he's singing to people. Have you seen that guy?
That was in the early. I'm surprised Chat Roulette is still around. Frankly,
where would it go?
There's too many
back alleys.
Away.
There's too many shirtless guys with their laptops in their laps for Chat Roulette to go away.
How do you know?
Because if you watch that Chat Roulette video, that's about half the people that show up on his video. And they're randomly connecting, so that's a sampling.
Next.
All right.
Who has to follow that?
Up next on the show, we're
next up on Tech Roulette.
Tech Roulette, we're going to talk to Steve.
Steve, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
How are y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good.
You can hear how we're doing.
I know. You're doing great, as usual. I've got a few questions, or need some explanation here. Help. I download this Oracle VM VirtualBox. I'm running Win 7 Home Premium.
Okay.
And evidently, I'm also going to have to install and purchase a version of XP to run that VirtualBox?
Yes.
Okay.
Not necessarily just to run VirtualBox, but if you want
to run Windows XP, within it.
Uh-huh. If you want to run Windows XP on VirtualBox.
You have to have an actual licensed copy of Windows XP.
Okay. How would I know that I'm getting one that will run in the VirtualBox? I had an old copy of a computer that died. And it wouldn't, and I tried to load it in. Now, it was for the old HP.
Right.
It's probably rescue disk.
If it's a version of XP that's what they call an OEM, vendor OEM, that's designed just for that brand, you probably can't load it into a VM. You need an actual regular version that's not an OEM. You can get an OEM, but it can't be brand specific. A lot of people are selling like the Dell recovery disks, because it's a full version of the operating system, but it will only load on a Dell computer.
So what you want to do...
Actually, I had a different experience. I set up VirtualBox, and I had the Dell XP install disk for a netbook, and it worked. It let me install it on the VirtualBox.
Hmm. What piece of software do you want to run under XP that you can't run under Windows 7?
It is some real estate programs I've got.
Real estate? Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Okay. I gotcha. All right, so, and you know for sure it won't run on Windows 7?
Have you tried, like, 32-bit mode?
It was running on my XP compatibility mode before it died. But it will not run, it will not load into the Windows 7.
Have you tried to, like, go in and, like, select the executable and say, like, run in XP compatibility mode?
How would you do that?
You right-click on the executable and choose the properties. There'll be a tab that says compatibility. You click that and you can tell it to try to run as though it was running on a different version of Windows. XP is one of them. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's worth a try.
Google search Windows XP compatibility mode, and you'll find some instructions on how to do it, about how to run software using that mode.
Oh, okay. I hadn't tried that.
Might be worth a shot.
And then if that doesn't work, so I don't have to call y'all back. I know you're awfully busy there with the soliciting phone calls. I'm making a joke. When I go to buy this OEM, how would I know that it's a regular copy of an OEM that would load?
You can get a copy of it. Windows XP OEM. Buy it from a reputable place like Amazon or Newegg.
You have to be careful even with Amazon now, because people are selling used stuff on Amazon.
Well, don't buy it. You can tell on Amazon if it's like through an auction or through used. Get it so that you know it's a genuine copy. I would use Newegg. Newegg has good prices. And
although I was looking recently for a copy of XP OEM, and it's not easy to find.
I was going to say, tracking one down is going to be tough. You may have to go, like, find some old licenses on eBay or something. Because I don't know of anywhere. Well, definitely know where you can walk in and buy it, but online maybe a couple
try
places.
Try Newegg. I think
I've seen a lot of places that were trying to, like, if you go on eBay, for example, you find a lot of people that are selling the one that came with a Dell computer or something like that. But let's see, Windows XP SP3 features OEM pre-installation kit, which apparently you can still be able to get from Microsoft. No, it gets tough to find. That's the problem. Yeah, Newegg. Let's see. Windows XP Professional Service Pack 2 out of stock at Newegg. It's out of stock. It's getting harder and harder to find. And it is.
No, I find, I'm showing it here. Free shipping. There it is.
Where?
Newegg. I just did a search for is Windows.
It, does it say XP? It's in stock?
Yes. Free shipping.
That's for Windows 7, though,
that's
huh?
Shipping.
Oh, I'm you're right.
It's 7, yeah. 7.
I'm looking at Tiger Direct, and it says it's out of stock. It's.
I'm having a hard time tracking it down.
Yes, but how much is shipping?
It's free.
It's free if we have it, which we don't.
Well, that's interesting that I did a search for XP OEM and only gives me Windows 7. That's really interesting.
I was because when I was looking for it the last time, I was starting to go through and trying to find it. I am finding some that look like they might be legit on eBay. There's an XP Professional Upgrade SP1 2002.
You're going to have to go through eBay. Apparently on June 30th, 2008, Microsoft pulled the plug on Windows XP. So that was the last day it was officially available for purchase from retail outlets. So I'd assume that means online and off.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's tough. You got to kind of look through and try to find one that's, you know, a lot of these are, they say OEM when I'm looking at eBay even, but I recognize them as being the ones that are included with Dell computers or something like that. So it gets, it's a little dicey. It's not an easy thing to find.
Let me ask you this, it's a little bit different, but after a Marty thing off eBay, if you buy something that didn't work, can you return it to the person you bought it from?
It depends. If you look at the seller, they'll tell you whether or not returns are accepted, but I'll bet you a dollar that software is not going to be, just like in real life, getting your money back on software is not going to be easy.
I'm seeing some XP stuff from Nextag. Have you guys ever shopped from them? I've heard of them a lot. I always see links to them, but I've never actually purchased from them.
Mm-mm.
Are they reliable?
You can do a Google for them and comma review and see what other people think of them.
We can.
You can if you want.
I don't even remember if they sold stuff or if they just list other people that are selling stuff.
I think
stuff.
They're like kind of a clearing house, it looks like. But they're two or three OEM, yeah. They're a couple, but they're like $80 OEMs, right? If they cost that much money, they've got to be legit.
That's right.
Right.
Barry, was that next? EM, did you say?
No, it's Next Tag, and go with caution. Just double Google everything that you see on there. But I found three different listings, and it's the only place I've seen it all over the net at like nextag.com.
But
it's a comparison shopping thing. So just follow through, see where it goes.
But yeah, but all that does is just does price comparisons from a number of different sites that offer it for sale, but it doesn't tell you if those sites are legit or not. So that's the problem.
You have to research each one of those.
Yeah, be careful on that one. Find something more legitimate.
Boy, the ones that look the most legitimate tend to be the ones that are most expensive. I'm seeing one from Discount Mountain, which looks promising.
Discount Mountain.
That's the most promising thing on the net right now, man. Yeah. You should try the Windows XP compatibility mode. There's a good chance that's going to work.
I'll do that first, and then if that doesn't work, then I'll go out there and maybe call y'all back. I do appreciate it. You have a great evening.
All right, good luck. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a box of Dell XP Home Editions shrink wraps.
Maybe you can help a brother out.
They won't work.
Well, fortunately for Steve, he only needs to use his real estate software late at night when he's at home, lonely and been drinking. So
maybe the compatibility thing should
work. And if not, he should install Linux inside the VirtualBox and then run Wine. Or not.
You're a sadist, aren't you?
Now you could use.
That would get it.
You can use VMware. You can capture. An image of a machine and run it virtually. So if he actually has an XP installed somewhere, he could capture that and run that in virtual machine if he uses VMware. That gets a little complicated.
Update the real estate software is probably pretty.
You think those real estate people would come out with a new version? Maybe
go online like car.com or something.
Yeah,
Houston area real estate stuff.
Talk to the, make the real estate people don't want to pony up money for anything because they're just all about making it rain.
There's so many of them that they're only a few of them are making the big bucks, and all the rest of them are trying to get their one or two sales in.
All right. Grave House?
$1 million to... What? I'm sorry. House Hunters? What are we doing?
We're making it rain up in here.
Flip it. I didn't think this was that kind of show.
Dance, monkey boy. All right, Groove House.
Zed's dead. What? Next call?
Are you the phone guy?
Yeah, I think I am.
Would you do your thing?
Yes, I will.
All right.
All right, up next on the show, we're going to talk to Oscar.
Oscar!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, computer show.
Oh, cool. Caller, actually.
What?
First-time caller.
First-time caller?
Yep.
All right, well, thanks for calling and listening and being a part of what we're doing here. What can we do for you?
So, you guys are gamers, right?
I am now a big-time gamer.
I'm Skyrim.
I'm playing Skyrim. I'm playing Assassin's Creed 2. The cool thing about getting into gaming...
He is a gamer.
Go, man, go.
The cool thing about getting into gaming...
Guys, hold on.
No, I need to make this point, and then you can talk. The cool thing about getting into gaming at this late in the game, yeah. to use the vernacular... Yeah. Those games, like Assassin's Creed...
Senior citizen discounts.
almost. It's like $20, you know, instead of like $50 when it came out new.
And you don't have to buy an $8,000 computer to play it.
You're one of those guys that are like, oh my God, the cake's a lie. And like...
Exactly.
It's like...
The cake is a lie. And I haven't even played that yet.
Look, the cake is a lie. Ha ha. I know the song. It's really cool. And you're like... Dude, I'm playing co-op.
Well, it's
making maps with my buddies.
Have you heard about Farmville?
No, it's like my wife has discovered.
Oh, dude, that's a game. That's a Facebook game, right?
Yeah.
Minecraft.
What kind of, are you a gamer or not? You got to play them all.
Right. Bejeweled guys, dude. My actual question. The reason why I asked you if you're a gamer, it was actually a prerequisite question.
We'll take those too.
I like people who make up their own words.
We're gamers. Gamers, not grammaticians.
Cool. All right, since we got that settled.
Yeah. Right,
we got this settled.
All right, the call is a lie.
Right. All right, cool. What are your thoughts about gaming and it becoming more of an established brand, about like a welcoming entertainment of the world of esports, like esports?
Like competing against other people, like the Olympics?
Competitive gaming.
There was a period in the late 90s, early 2000s when competitive gaming looked like it was good. There were leagues and there were professionals playing, and that kind of went like... a lot of those leagues are still out there. Korea. They're not as big as they are now.
There was also a period of that in the very early 80s with arcade games.
Yeah. Right.
The thing that still clings to life are those bar-to-bar trivia games.
Right. But it doesn't, you know, they've made several runs at it, and there were, like, companies that started, I think one even went public and then went bust, you know, that were trying to do tournaments on a grand scale. And it's just...
Was there a TV show? Yeah. I know there was like segments on TV shows, but I think there might have been an actual TV show.
Yeah, Tech TV was doing, you know, some of that stuff. So I think it's kind of come and gone.
You could move to Korea, though. I mean, it is actually thriving over there. They're still playing like StarCraft and, you know, they're zerking bases and all that kind of stuff. And there are actually people making like $100,000 a year like that. It's few, but it's thriving.
Well, I used to be a
competitor. They have StarCraft 2 players that are practically idolized.
Yeah, I mean, they get jackets, they get sponsorship, people know who they are, girls run up and scream.
They're more important than superstars.
There was that guy that just won that texting contest. I mean, there's contests for everything.
But I mean, you've also got people like dying in internet cafes while training over there. So, I mean, if you're on the phone with us, you do not have the dedication it takes to become a Korean gamer. I'm sorry.
I think there's probably...
From the beginning.
Well, there's the whole mining for gold thing going on, right?
Well, it's Chinese, yeah. You've got to pick your country.
Yeah, well,
I used to
be into competitive gaming until I took an arrow in the knee.
What about competitive eating? There's a
So, what do you guys think? Have you guys ever heard of... You guys all play Warcraft, right?
I touch it from time to time.
Hey-o. No, that's real estate.
Touches me.
That's real estate.
I totally didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
No, okay. Yes, we are familiar with this thing called World of Warcraft. We don't play
it. I'm not playing the Panda expansion, though.
Warcraft? Warcraft 2? World of Warcraft?
He said World. World of.
He said World of.
Okay.
No, I originally was meant to say Warcraft 3.
Oh. Well, that's different.
You guys don't even know what Warcraft 3 is?
No, we do. We just don't. I don't play it anymore.
I don't play it.
Frozen Throne? What about Dota?
No. Not since the video came out.
Yeah, I have Dota 2.
Okay.
Alright.
Do you guys know anything about that?
No, not familiar with that one.
Are you familiar with Super Breakout?
Tempest?
Right.
I like Pitfall, that's my favorite game.
Oh, alligators are dangerous.
Warrior needs food. Warrior is about to die.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Go north.
Leisure Suit Larry, yes, they'll see.
Oh my god, dude.
Gotcha.
Those freaking questions, really? Man. In the beginning, even like an old man was like, I don't know what the year of this person was.
That was a real estate game, right?
Yeah, you probably would have to spend $350 to find a copy of Windows XP or like Windows ME.
I don't even think he could play it in XP.
Yeah.
I think you have to actually boot from a
DOS.
I think it was 3-1.
I think you have to boot from a DOS.
No, I actually have a copy of Leisure Suit Larry on a 3.5-inch floppy drive.
Nice.
But my 286 NEC laptop won't boot up.
Yeah, I have a 5.25-inch disc of Duke Nukem.
Oh, all right. What about Castle Wolfenstein? Or Wolfenstein?
I actually had the original Castle Wolfenstein for the Commodore 64 on 5.25 floppy.
I now know how old you guys are just because of how you say that. You guys
Wolfenstein.
Had no idea what Dota 2 was or anything.
No, we're old.
You guys were like, yeah, dude.
Do we know what Dota is? We know that there's a video by Base Center about Dota. We're on top of you. Go Google that. Dota 2 video.
What's that? True.
It's the Base Center guy, the guy that did the Anna Boten song. He does a song about playing Dota in the dark.
Yeah.
See, we're hip, we're cool. Yeah.
I can't believe you actually knew that, though.
We're surprising.
All right, well, anyways, video games. Come on, let's go on.
You just want to talk video games all night long?
Do it. I'm just kidding. No, you guys are pretty cool. I've actually listened to your show a couple times, and that's pretty neat. You guys are doing a good thing.
We think so, and we appreciate you saying that. You know, we're trying to stay relevant and hip and all that stuff. I love my Xbox. I just enjoy it. So.
I'm going to play more games during the show just for you, Oscar.
I don't know what my wife thinks about her 50-year-old husband sitting on the couch playing Assassin's Creed and laughing maniacally when he double kills two guards.
I gave up gaming when I got bored with Quake 3 Arena, and now I just play Tetris on my iPhone.
That's not completely true, because you were playing... Or is it just your kid and your other family members?
Diablo 3.
Diablo 3.
Yeah, yeah. My wife and my son play Diablo 3, and they love it. And I watch and go, oh, I remember that stuff. But, you know. And then I pick up and I play solitaire on my iPhone.
It's all just a gateway to Japanese anime.
See, I was never much of a gamer ever anyway. I mean, ever.
I was terrible. My gamer handle on Quake 3 Arena was the Llama King, so that... pretty much tell
Winamp.
Better than the Lava King.
Huh?
Better than the Lava King.
I was that, too. I was lava fodder.
All right. Well, thanks for your call and bringing up that great topic. We're going to have to get on to some other calls here before the end of the show. Come on.
No problem.
All right.
Bring a console.
All right. Take care.
Bye. All right. What's your Xbox handle name? I got two friends on my Xbox. Groovehouse is one of them.
I watched Nerdcore Rising.
No, three. Nerdcore Rising? Did you see Barrett?
I saw Barrett. He was in there twice.
Yes, he was.
Twice?
Yep.
I thought it was
It's spattered in there now.
No, he's in there twice.
It's cutting him out.
About 10, 15 seconds each time.
Didn't I send you all the screenshot?
You sent me a screenshot, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
All right. Up next on the show, we are going to talk to Paul.
Paul, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, I'm a frequent listener, frequent critic, occasional caller.
Yes, I'm a guy on the radio.
No, I love you guys.
Love you too, man.
So, anyway, I'm feeling some serious Mac pain right now.
Mm. Matt Kirk.
I'm working at an engineering company, and I'm one of the IT guys, and all of our VPs have MacBook Pros. All the engineers have the senior level engineers and below all have Windows machines, and I've done both over the years, but I've been on a Lenovo for the last few years, and so I volunteer to be the designated Mac guy if they would give me one of those nice shiny MacBook Pros. And I thought, you know, I'll run my I'll do my office development in a VM on using VMware, and everything will be wonderful. Hasn't worked out quite that way. I want to start out by saying that I hate the mini display port on the new MacBook Pro. I don't know, any of you guys have had any trouble with those?
I have not. I haven't had problems.
Yeah. Really? I use it all the time, and I don't have a problem with it.
In what way are you having a problem with it?
Well, it started out that it would flash. I've got the laptop sitting there, and then I've got it connected to a 22 inch Dell monitor. And the first thing that happened was that it would flash when I was using it. And it didn't matter if I was using a DVI connection, a VGA connection. Hell, I even went into an HDMI connection to try to get this thing. But it would always flash
like this,
occasionally.
Like the screen would flicker or flash on and off
a little bit? No, it would turn off and on. It would turn off, and my monitor would go, oh, no input. And so maybe 5 seconds later, it would pop back on. Sometimes it would take 30.
I wonder if you just have a faulty port.
Well, I took it into the Apple store, and they actually replaced the motherboard. So,
did that fix it?
It seems to. So then I started having trouble with my my VMs. I only have one VM, but you know, I had trouble with the display on it. So I decided to go boot camp, and so I reinstalled everything and had no problems. And then I decided to get fancy and get one of the NIS display links. And so I've got three monitors now. I've got the laptop monitor, and then I've got two external monitors. But the display port has started flaking out again, in that I will be on my two...
That phone sounded like it was going to give up the ghost any time.
He must have it plugged into the display port.
I think I see the problem.
Sorry about that, but you disconnected.
I've never gone beyond two monitors, so I couldn't say.
Well, I know that one of my coworkers picked up one of the new MacBook Pro Retina display, and I can't remember exactly what the problem was he was having, but it was a serious hardware problem.
Off the display port?
I don't know if it was all. I can't remember if it was off the display part or not, but whatever it was, he was on the phone with second and third tier Apple support people. And I think he's going to end up having to swap out the entire computer. Hmm. But there might be some production issues on those new MacBooks.
But I've been with three monitors on like iMacs and stuff using the USB video card deals. Obviously, you wouldn't want to game like all the young folks do with it, but for displaying your email and stuff like that, I've had my iMac and up to three other monitors hooked up to it at the same time.
All right, well, I don't know exactly what that guy is. He sounds like he's trying to replace or run a Windows type environment in virtual space. I know that Dwight has had a lot of good luck doing that using Parallels as his preferred method to do that. Boot camp should also work, though. It should work well.
Yeah,
it
should.
Although, if the hardware, I mean, if he's just got a bad Apple, so to speak, then boot camp or switching out on any of that stuff, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a car that's a lemon, you can put whatever seat covers you want on it, and it's not going to drive any better.
The other thing to keep in mind is that it could just be the cable. I mean, he didn't mention whether he'd swapped any cables or not, but that's something to
true think enough. All right, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, give or take 4 minutes, and 2 calls in the queue. So
let's do it.
Who's up next, Groovehouse?
All right, up next, we're going to talk to Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. I was thinking about updating my BIOS on Windows 7. And the manual says in, like, capital letters, you shouldn't do it unless you really need to. But kind of running slow, and I've scanned it for viruses and kind of tuned it up and everything, and it's still happening.
Well, how old is the computer?
It's like 7-8 months.
Well, I doubt that it's running slow because of the BIOS, although there is one situation where I've heard of fan not running properly, the computer not getting cool enough, and that a BIOS update will clear that. I've seen that on some of the newer Dell, not actually the newer ones, last year's Dells, where the computers were overheating and they were having some performance problems, and then updating the BIOS actually reset the thermometer or the temperature control, and it caused the fan to start working and the computer started behaving itself. But if your computer's running slow, when you say you tuned it up, what have you done?
Let's see. I got rid of some programs, and I closed some programs from the startup, you know, so they wouldn't start up. Went into services and followed a guide on, you know, what services you could live without. I've got a lot of RAM. I've got like 16 gigs of RAM, so it shouldn't.
Is it a 64-bit version of the operating system?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I'd be worried about is if there is actually a hardware issue. You say it's an HP or a Dell, or who makes it?
No, I put it together.
You put it together yourself. Okay. That gets into some kind of, you know, questionable territory because, you know, all things being equal, whether or not you've got all the right components and whether they're installed properly and whether they're designed to work together,
it's a lot of variables.
There are a lot of variables, right. So performance issues could be a sign of faulty hardware that's been improperly, you know, put together. If your BIOS is out of date, it shouldn't be a problem to update the BIOS, but I don't know of a situation, too many situations where the BIOS is actually, updating the BIOS actually helps with a performance problem.
It's also, it's not horrible to do it, but it is one of the more risky things you can do involving your hardware.
My one home-built PC, I had a home-built PC, I had issues with not the BIOS, but with chipset drivers. That was the thing that I had the hardest time getting going. And without having a name brand behind it to go and get the chipset drivers that were designed for that make and model, I had to research the chipset of the motherboard that I had bought to build the computer and go out and get in from the manufacturer of the chipset, get the new chipset drivers to be able to get it to work properly.
I mean, I did flash the BIOS on a couple of my motherboards years ago. I haven't done it in a long time, but I mean, it's doable. It's just, you know, if you do jack it up, you can make your motherboard brain dead. So generally, that's why they suggest not to do it unless you really need to do it, because it's one of the more riskier things you can do.
I guess I could just take it to Fry's and spend $100 or whatever, but, well.
To do what? What would they do for $100? Diagnose it?
I guess try to diagnose it, yeah, and see what they could find.
Well, you know, one thing you might try doing, you weren't the one that called in a couple of weeks ago with all that RAM, were you? That guy had like a lot of RAM.
27 gigs. Yeah.
27 gigs of RAM.
Try pulling it down to 8 gigs of RAM and see what happens. Maybe you got some bad memory.
Yeah.
Try running it in a couple of different 8 gig configurations and see what happens. Yeah, it gets a little dicey trying to troubleshoot the home builds, but.
Okay.
Good luck, man. I appreciate your call.
Thank y'all.
Thanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, just running sluggish is difficult to troubleshoot. I mean, it's like a car that has an intermittent electrical problem. It's just kind of hard to troubleshoot.
It is kind of hard to troubleshoot.
If it's dying, then, you know, you might be able to isolate it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one of the more common things that I've seen cause computers to run slow, if it's not viruses and spyware and too much software running, is a faulty hard drive. So I don't know if he's done any of the boot. You know, you can do the check disk and stuff at boot. You know,
a lot of times if you have a RAM failure, I mean, if you have a RAM problem, like it dies.
Yeah,
it
you see crashes
slow.
And but I've seen with hard drives where it's if the hard drive's failing, it's having a hard time
reading, writing, not being able to pull data.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that can cause it. I've seen computers bogged down because of a faulty hard drive, and then get a new hard drive in, and that thing just starts zipping again. All right, Guru House.
Yes.
Who's up last?
Last on the show, we're going to talk to Al.
Al, you're on the air with Technology Bites, Al.
Guys, good evening. I love the show. I don't get a chance to listen very often, but let me tell you what I got real quickly.
Okay.
The internet stopped working on Saturday. Friday worked fine. I'm running a Toshiba Satellite L655 with Windows 7. And I did a lot of troubleshooting, talked to the vendor, and they concluded that the router was bad. But I didn't believe that because I still had two cell phones that connected. Didn't get a chance to do anything, so I waited for them to send the new router anyway, and sure enough, I swapped it out, made sure I followed all the precautions and wires and cables in the right places. Still same situation. So I went out and got a Netgear wireless adapter, and I got the CD loaded because I couldn't get to the internet, and it didn't seem to work any better. Now, I guess I'm kind of curious, if you do something like that Netgear device, it's a N600 dual band, does it bypass the system completely? Do I have to turn off the hardware switch and the software switch? Does it matter? I'm just really confused because even plugging the Ethernet didn't seem to bring up the internet. Any help with that?
Are you connecting it to DSL or cable?
I'm not sure how you consider it.
In other words, who's your internet provider?
It's an AT&T system.
So that's their DSL. Checked to make the AT&T DSL? They usually come with a router that is joined to the modem. It's one piece. Okay. And if you try to chain it, there are usually some issues with that. Have you talked to UVerse?
Oh, I talked to them first. They're the ones who told me to, you know, get a new router, but I didn't think that made any sense. I had two cell phones that worked fine.
Yeah, so what you probably want to do, if you want the Netgear one, you need to get back in touch with them and talk to them about the settings you need to do on their router because you're chaining it to their router.
You have to put it into bridge mode,
right,
I think, in order for it to use a separate router.
So it's not as simple as
just plug in another router now.
Closing down one adapter, like, for instance, in the, you know, shutting off one of the adapters and then only via the Netgear adapter?
No, because you got to make the Netgear router talk to the UVerse router.
Okay, so if the UVerse router has a bad...
No, the UVerse router may have a conflict with it. You may need to go into the UVerse router and say, I'm about to connect another router to you. Deal with it properly. But you should call UVerse and tell them what you're trying to do, and they should be able to get you configured.
Although they did say they sent them off to go buy another router.
Right, but they didn't give them the instructions on how to make it work.
Missed the opportunity had him get a new one because the other ones, it stopped working or it never worked?
No, it worked fine. I've never had any trouble.
They
at
should
all.
Replace that, actually.
Friday it worked, Saturday morning it didn't.
They should replace that.
They replaced the router. I got the router yesterday.
That was the router that UVerse sent you?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, they sent him a new
router. Yeah. Okay,
they sent me a router.
I would talk to them.
I got a Netgear when that didn't work, that external.
Talk to them.
You're going to have to go back to them on this one, I'm afraid. All right, thanks for your call. We got to go. We're out of time. So, if you want to email me, I'd be happy to take it offline. But unfortunately, we're out of time. And come to the Geek Gathering in a few weeks. You can go to geekradio.com to learn about the Geek Gathering. We're going to be gone next week and the week after. Barrett might be here.
I'm going to be here.
But we'll be gone for coverage of the two conventions, the Republican National Convention next week and the Democratic National Convention the week after. Special coverage here on KPFT.
Check the website. Check Facebook.
Yeah. Check us out online. And we won't be doing any internet broadcasts. But, and if you're listening outside the Houston area, there may be a best of. I don't know. Something will happen. They'll figure it out. All right. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's Roofhouse. See you in the next couple of weeks.
KPFT is now accepting candidate nominations for 12 open board seats. Register online at kpft.org. Keep in mind that you can self-nominate or nominate another individual. To qualify to run for one of the 9 listener-sponsored board seats, you must be a member who has either completed 3 hours of volunteer work or who has contributed at least $25 to the station. Completed candidate nomination packets must be delivered to the local election supervisor by 5 p.m. on August 30th, 2012. There are no exceptions, so register online as soon as possible and take advantage of election outreach events that can help you with your candidacy. This announcement was brought to you by KPFT Houston.
Want to help KPFT but can't make the drive out to the little house on Lovett Boulevard? A great way to aid KPFT is as simple as logging into Facebook and Twitter. Connect with KPFT via social media. It's simple. Just visit twitter.com/KPFT and facebook.com/KPFT Houston. Then share our links and donate form with your social circles on Twitter and Facebook. Chances are you know people who may not know KPFT, and you'll introduce them to the fantastic music, interviews, news, and more that you hear daily on this radio station. Remember, just visit twitter.com/KPFT or facebook.com/KPFT Houston to promote and support KPFT online. This is Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.